ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Introduction. How is it possible? The Acharyas give the following example. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. One with such an attachment is always thinking of the loved one. The wife who is thinking of a lover is always thinking of meeting him, even while she is carrying out her household chores. In fact, she carries out her household work even more carefully so her husband will not suspect her attachment. Similarly, we should always remember the Supreme Lover, Sri Krishna, and at the same time perform our material duties very nicely. A strong sense of love is required here. If we have a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then we can discharge our duty and at the same time remember Him. But we have to develop that sense of love. Arjuna, for instance, was always thinking of Krishna. He was the constant companion of Krishna, and at the same time, he was a warrior. Krishna did not advise him to give up fighting and go to the forest to meditate. When Lord Krishna delineates the yoga system to Arjuna, Arjuna says that the practice of the system is not possible for him. Arjuna Uvacha, Yoyam Yogas Toya Prokta Samyena Madhusudana Itasyaham napashyami chanchalat vat stitim stiram. Arjuna said, O Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable for me, to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady, Bhagavad Gita 6.33. But the Lord says, Yoginam apisadavesham madgatanat manatmana shradhavan bhajate yomam sameyuktat yuktatamogmata. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Bhagavad Gita 6.47. So one who thinks of the Supreme Lord always is the greatest yogi, the supermost jnani, and the greatest devotee at the same time. The Lord further tells Arjuna that as a kshatriya, he cannot give up his fighting. But if Arjuna fights, remembering Krishna, then he will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. But one must be completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So this is then continuing with the point of how to remember Krishna while we are doing our work. How do we do that? Because we're working, so naturally then we get involved in that work. So here the example is given that if the husband or wife has a paramour, then they are thinking of them always, how to meet them, you know, and thinking about when they've met them in the past. But at the same time, they're doing their work very nicely. In fact, more nicely, because they don't want to be suspected. So this is the next stage. The beginning stage is one is doing the activity because one is supposed to do it. Right? Shastras say one should do it, and so one should do it. And one understands with the intelligence that, of course, yes, one must do something. The human life is meant for something special. It's not just meant for ordinary activities. So, therefore, then one must be engaged. And we can't just engage how we like, but then according to the Lord's direction, that's what the Lord is saying, that we should be engaged according to His direction, what pleases Him. So the Shastras say, do this, do that. So many regulations, and we do them. But then with time, we find as one becomes more purified, more mature in the devotional process, then the work itself one is adjusted to, one is able to do nicely. And the tendency is, unless one is, if one really likes what that work is giving, the fruit of that work, one may tend to get a little lax at that work. One may not do it so expertly, because one knows it so well. One is so expert at it that one doesn't care to do it properly. Interesting phenomenon. And then if you say you're not doing it so properly, oh, how long I've been doing it, you know how much I've done this, that, so many things going on. So much ego is there. So if they're either recognized for that work, then one is very inspired to do. Or if the fruit, other fruit from that work, then one is inspired to do. But in any case, with time one becomes good at it. So, but then when one takes up spiritual life, then one is not interested in the fruits of action. So the tendency is to not do them. Like Arjuna. Okay, if I'm not supposed to be interested in the fruits of this war, great, fine, I'll go to the forest. I'll meditate, I'll do nothing. Right? I only do something because I want the result. This is the problem. This is the probably one of the major difficulties, along with so many, but one of the major difficulties in the practice of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness, is this fact. Is that if we're not supposed to be attached, we don't want to work with it. And if we are attached, we like to work with it. But here Krishna is saying, you're not supposed to be attached, but you're supposed to work with it. So this is something totally different from any activity we've ever done before taking up Krishna consciousness. Right? As a karmi, we worked very hard. We wanted the result. As a jnani, we didn't want the result. We didn't do any work. Right? And as a yogi, then, you know, we busy ourselves with standing on our head and doing all kinds of things. Like this keeps us preoccupied. But also, we're not doing any real work, and we're not, you know, doing no work. But we've never done our work nicely, but not because we don't want the result. Okay, maybe you can say, okay, extend that a little bit. Okay, for myself, I don't want the work. You know, if mother is working very hard for the child, she doesn't want the result. No, but the child should enjoy it. Right? So then some result is wanted. It's our child. We're not working like that for someone else's child. Right? You know, we can extend that little bit. Someone else should enjoy it. But it's still on the material platform. So this idea is, I'm going to work fully. But the work itself, the result of it, I'm not going to take for myself. Not only that, it's not going to be used for even any subtle benefits or for some other materialist benefits. Right? It's not going to be offered in this material world. Right? It's not going to be offered here. So then this is a very strange phenomenon. Right? Therefore we see it's very difficult for many times for the devotees to get the balance on this. They either work so much, because it's their thing, their project, their this, their that, so many things, results they're going to get out of something. Or they don't like to work at all, because it's not ours, right? The temple's not ours, so, you know, why do we have to work so hard and clean it and maintain it and do all that? We just, right? Spiritual life means sitting down, chanting a little Hare Krishna, taking a little prasad, doing a little kirtan, you know, doing a little parikram, you know, poking our nose in a few books now and again. And, you know, that's it. That's spiritual life. Right? This is what we you know, hear. This is what many people think. That's spiritual life. Right? If I'm going to work hard, you know, then I'm going to go home and work hard there, and I'll get some benefit from it. Right? But if I come to the temple, then of course, why I should work? Right here, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna. What's the need? What's the big deal? Why so much this and that and organization and institution and all these different things? Like that, spiritual life doesn't mean institution and all that. Spiritual life means being a lazy, no-good bum. Right? That's what it means. institutions, then that's for active people, right? That's for people who are dynamic, want to do something, get something done. But spiritual life doesn't mean that. It means being lazy. Right? You just sit back and just enough, just do it. That's all, you know. That's all. So we see that the problem comes here in balancing this. Because either there's too much passion or there's too much ignorance. Right? Ignorance is why we should do all these things. You know, because we're detached, right? It means I'm not going to get the fruit anyway, so therefore I'm detached from it. It means, therefore, why work for it? And the other is yes, we like this work, we into this work, get these results, get all these things. You know, they'll read out our name in the morning and everyone will play the kartals and drum and I'll feel very good and all these things. Yes, then that's the other side. But here Krishna is saying something totally different. He's talking about the mode of goodness. You're doing it just because you're supposed to do it. You're doing it because it's good for you. You'll spiritually advance. You'll lose your material desire. So therefore, mode of goodness means active. But it's not active for material desire. Right? So it's active. Like passion, but no material desire. At the same time, there's no connection to it. Like ignorance. It means, you know, it's ignorant, we don't care, so we don't want to work. But we're working. So it's something very different, right? Where we're used to passion and ignorance, and here's something Krishna's saying, goodness, right? And then it's, oh, this doesn't work in this age. Of course it works. Goodness is there in this age also. Passion and ignorance also don't work in this age, right? People are killing themselves, right? It's so good, it works so nicely, why are people dying at 40 and 50 of heart attacks, strokes, this, that? It doesn't work now either. So mode of goodness works, right? The doctor says, you know, take it easy, relax, balanced diet, regulated lifestyle, all these things. They'll tell you all the things that we do, right? You go to the doctor, what should you do? And they do these things, right? So we're asked to work, but without attachment. So this is a very unique thing. That's why you see varnashram is not understood, sadhana is not understood. Right? The whole process is not well understood. Right? Bodhis just say, yes, I understand. But then if we do, why the practice is not going so nicely? Right? Because we don't understand. Right? The point is we're supposed to do it. The sadhana itself is not the bhakti. The sadhana is the medium through which the bhakti is shown. The work is the medium through which it's shown. Arjuna is the shooting of the arrow. That's mentioned in the Shastra. Right? It's a material arrow on a material bow being shot through the material air and, you know, going into the piercing the armor of, you know, material armor of a material warrior, and, you know, the material warrior is dropping materially dead. Right? So, what's spiritual about it? Nothing. But Arjuna is doing this to please Krishna. That's what's spiritual. Therefore, the whole thing becomes touched with spirit, and then we can call the whole thing spiritual. His fighting is also spiritual. Why? Because it is done for pleasing the Absolute, therefore it gives an absolute result. Therefore it has to be called also absolute. So that is the thing, is that it is something that is being done to please Krishna. Therefore, then one doesn't have the problem of one becomes expert at it and then, oh, well, let's move on to something else because I'm not getting any big result from it and no one's praising me for it, so why I should do it? I should do something new. I'm 40 years old, 50 years old. What do I have in my life? What do I got? I worked for this society so long. Where's my house? Where's my bank account? Where's my security? Where's all the praises? Where's all the facility? Then, motive passion. Right? And then, mode of ignorance, so I stop all this and I just change direction, you know, like that. And just do something new, something different, something for me, right? The real me, right? The body, or the gross, or the subtle body, not for the soul. Soul's not us. It's a very important point to understand. We're not the soul, right? We're the mind. So what the mind wants, then that's important, right? No. It means, the point is why were we doing? This is the test. This is the test. All these years, we're saying surrender, we're telling everybody else to surrender, and all that. But when the moment of truth comes, then how can we say, well, where's my facility? Then that means you did the work to get the facility. Or the praise, distinction, the adoration, the profit, something. No. It was done to please Krishna. Right? Arjuna, in the beginning of the battle, wanted to fight for himself. What he'll get from it. At the end, he's fighting. It pleases Krishna. He wins, he loses, whatever happens, it's Krishna's. So this is the next stage. The beginning stage is just getting expert at doing the sadhana, doing the various activities, but not for ourselves. Right? So we become expert at the thing, and we're always trying to keep ourselves from trying to take the result, you know, take the credit, all these things. We have to keep ourselves. So this is called anartha nivritti. Right? Removing the anarthas that come up, the attachments, the good, the passion, the ignorance, or even the attachment to just, you know, there should be no problems, right? No pain, like that. That's the impersonalist, or the yogis. They said, no pain, no problems, right? So even spiritually, we want no problems, right? There's so many problems in spiritual life. We don't want those either, right? No problems, like that. So we slowly work on these things, and then these start to reduce. Right? So then when they reduce, then the next stage has to become prana. Otherwise, then we have to start all over again in some new field. Right? We must keep ourselves busy. Mind must be focused. Mind must get some taste. So now that's the next stage. Right? After anartha nivritti comes nishta, one becomes fixed. So when it's fixed, it comes easily. It's easily done. No problems. Right? It just goes on. It becomes boring. Right? And because you've done it not for yourself, for Krishna, then there's no material fruit from it. Right? You've only spiritually advanced. That's been the result. Right? So then, now, one has to have a taste. Neutrality is not the platform of the soul. Right? One has to move on. Right? There's been some focus before this. Up to nishta, there's been focus. Right? But now, you've come to a neutral point. And at this neutral point, then you have to get a taste for Krishna consciousness. That has to be what drives. Because taste is what makes us work. We work because of taste. Either what we're getting, what we will get, what we got in the past, thinking we'll get it again. That's what we work for. We work for that taste. So now, the next stage is ruchi. So if taste does not come, then one will get distracted by distinction, adoration, and profit. Right? We see that na danam, na janam, na sundarim. This is at the taste platform of taste. I'm not interested in that. So that means before that in nishta, one's not interested in the gross, but the subtle is still interesting. The subtle is still interesting. So between nishta and ruchi, one has to get rid of that. Otherwise, it doesn't move on. Right? If the taste is for subtle, material, how are you going to have the taste for the spiritual? So that has to be, one has to move to the next step, which means that also has to go. So I have been, yes, the big devotee, but according to Lord Chaitanya, I'm supposed to be humble. Right? I've done so much, but the results are all for Krishna's pleasure. Right? You know, I'm the senior person, or I'm very expert. Why people aren't recognizing? Better they don't. Nice they don't recognize. That's even better. They recognize, then that's like Lord Chaitanya said, like poison. Right? Someone praises us, then it's like poison. So one has to, these are factual things. We read about them, oh, very nice. But we have to take them and apply them in our life. The system is being very clearly given what is there. Right? But this, we read it once, yes, I know it. No, we have to practice it. Hearing is the first stage, practice is the second stage, realization is the third. Right? And so we're practicing, we have to contemplate. We have to think, how does this work? And if it's not working, why it's not working? Some say, ah, Krishnavas just doesn't work, Varnashram doesn't work, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, so many things don't work. Material energy works perfect, right? Western civilization is perfect, no problems, everyone's happy, everyone's got money, no one suffers, no birth, no death, no old age, no disease, nothing. It's perfect, right? Only Krishna consciousness and institutions and you know, relationships with spiritual people, they have problems, you know, but the material works very nice. Karmis are so nice, devotees aren't very nice. Right? You know, it's like, yes, that was, you know, now we've finally come to the realization, right? Before we became a devotee, we were stupid, right? We were foolish, young, uneducated, inexperienced. So therefore then we found that all these karmi people, they were so gross and materialistic and had no idea what they were doing, no answers to life, nothing, you know? Their niceness was just a show. You know, therefore, that's why we rejected all that, because we didn't actually understand there was real substance. Something was there, it was actual, factual, good, but we were too inexperienced to understand. Now, after 30 years of Krishna consciousness, now we understand, yes, it was good. I was foolish. Right? No. It was bad then, it's still bad today. In fact, it's probably worse. Give the material energy 30 years more to go, rotten, right? It just gets worse. Material energy is always getting worse, not getting better. Spiritual life's getting better. But, so therefore, if we see something's not working, that means it worked for everyone else, why it didn't work for me. The acharyas, it worked for them, it worked for so many other devotees, they've told us the process, that means we're doing something wrong. Right? We're doing something wrong. I mean, that's one alternative. Of course, the other alternative is all the people, you know, including God, who, you know, delineated the process, they're wrong and I'm right. That's one option. Right? And then if we can get enough of us together, then we can, you know, have a strong contingent, right? Like that. So, you know, it's like you take it, what, 1/10 of the living entities that there is in the cosmic creation happen to be in the material world. Right? So 9/10 are in the spiritual world. So they all think in one way, but here they have another thought. But that doesn't matter. Even though they're in a majority, it's, you know, how do you say? What's that word? Like you have they have a meeting and then they overbalance it one way. Or they have ballots and then they put some in. It's a process of, you know, it's a cheating process where you make it look like it's going your way, but it's inflated. Yeah, inflated. Huh? Yeah, it's just, you know, sometimes you go to you have a committee meeting and there's an issue on the floor. And then, you know, 3 people say one way and 7 the other way. And then they'll say it's biased or it's overbalanced the other way. It's not a properly balanced committee, right? It should be 50-50 so you can't come to any conclusion, right? That's proper. So it's over, you know, okay, it's somehow inflated. God's done something and 9/10 of the people think it's worse, you know. And then in this material world, right, then very, very few are humans, right? Unlimited living entities are non-human. Yeah, few are human. Of human, very few are interested in, you know, something spiritual or even are a little sophisticated. Right? Most are not even very sophisticated. They're pretty unsophisticated people. And amongst those, very few have, you know, taken up spiritual life or, you know, even very few are interested in New Age or even just bogus philosophies. You know? And then we are within one of those, we're a small group, right? Few hundred of us, few thousand of us maybe, you know, if we're really lucky. And then our opinion outweighs, you know, all the acharyas, all the living entities on the higher planets, Right? There's quite a few up there. It's not just, you know, Earth is one. And then you have six other dvipas, right? And if we read from Bhagavatam, they all worship the Lord. They're quite happy with the process. The heavenly planets are happy with Maharjana, Tapa, Satya, they're happy with the with the process. Vaikuntha, everybody else is happy. But somehow our opinion is more important. Right? Somehow or another. But, you know, so that's one option. Is we're right and everybody else, including God, is wrong. Or we can look at it, well, then what did I do wrong? Right? And if we can say, what did I do wrong? Then we're talking about approaching the platform of nishtha. Nishtha means humility. It starts with humility. So if we're not humble, then we can't claim to be on the platform of nishtha. We can't get beyond nishtha. How will we get beyond nishtha? Right? Without humility, how will we get to nishtha? Right? Ego is one of the anarthas. So that means anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means removing the anarthas. So are we removing? Or are we just on bhajana kriya? We're just following the rules just because they're supposed to be followed. Or are we dynamically trying to follow the rules so that we'll purify the heart and we'll develop love for Krishna? Right? So that takes some humility. Otherwise then, okay, we're the big devotee at nishtha. Well then, what about ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema? And then prema, that's only the second level of 10 levels of prema bhakti. Right? Mahabhava's the 10th. Prema is the 2nd. So we do have a little ways to go. Little ways to go. So we shouldn't be proud that we get somewhere between bhajana kriya and nishtha. You know? Or even that, you know, so we're becoming steady in our service. We're becoming fixed in our service. So it's still not time. That's time to become humble. Right? When you become expert in the material world, then you're allowed to be proud. Even people won't criticize that you're proud. I remember hearing one gentleman, he was the, you know, big musician, head of the music department in Mysore. And he was talking to one of his friends, and they were talking about another musician who was very, very big. But he was a little proud, you know, the way he would deal and all that. You know, it's difficult when you had a program to organize for him, because nothing worked for him, nothing was right. But then the head of the big musician, the one big musician, commenting on the other, says, well, he is so expert. It's allowed that he can be proud, you know? It's natural. He's so good, naturally he's proud, we have to tolerate. Right? That's the thing. You know, we should tolerate. He doesn't have to tolerate. We have to be humble. He doesn't have to be humble, right? Because the bigger you are, then these things don't work, right? Trinada, Pisunichena, Taroda, that's for the new bhaktas. As you grow up, then the ego should get bigger and bigger. Like that. That's how you tell big devotee, right? Is how big the ego is. Like that. How less the tolerance. And then new bhakta, they have to be humble. Well, they just join, they don't know anything, so why they shouldn't be humble? Right? But see, Krishna Khan is just the opposite of whatever we know. As we advance, we become more expert, then we're humble. Right? More humble than a blade of grass. Blade of grass is humble. Has to be humble. It's his dharma to be humble. It's just a blade of grass. Everyone steps on it. What's it? It's just a blade of grass. Useless. Right? But more humble than a blade of grass. So a blade of grass is humble because it has to be humble. More humble than a blade of grass means you have good qualities. You are qualified, but you're humble. That's more humble than a blade of grass. Otherwise, just to be humble because you don't have any good qualities and you are useless, then okay, that's nice, it's good. Better than being useless and being proud, that's the worst. Right? But if you're humble and you are qualified, then we can start doing what is talked about here. Right? Because this is the next stage in bhakti. Sometimes devotees will say, oh, Prabhupada gave just basic things. Others will say Prabhupada gave basic thing. This paragraph right here is advanced devotional service. This example is from the acharyas on advanced devotional service. But Prabhupada is so nice, because principles of it apply to everybody, is we do our service and we always think of Krishna. But this paragraph is for advanced devotees, it's not for neophytes. Right? This paragraph is saying, you're already expert, right? You're already married. You're already expert at your duties, right? But you're doing them more perfect. Right? So that's the next stage. Is already you're good at it, but instead of getting let, you become better at it. But why are you better at it? Because you're always remembering Krishna. Right? He's the ultimate lover. One's always remembering Him. So one's doing it to please Him. And at the same time, one's doing it so that others just think you're just like everybody else. Right? Otherwise, you stop doing the things. Why do you stop doing the things? Because you're the big person. Right? The big person doesn't do the things. The small people do the things. No, but you still do the things. So everybody else thinks, oh, you're just another small person like everyone else. But people who actually know can see, no, this person's more advanced. So to do this means there's a taste. Right? Before, the wife was working very hard in the house. One, it's her house. Two, she wants to please the husband. Right? She pleases this husband and she gets more stuff for the house. Right? House needs to be filled up with stuff. Right? So you have to please the husband, then he'll bring so many stuff, he'll work very hard. Right? Good process, right? You simply have to smile, and then the guy will go out and work hard all day and bring back all kinds of things. It's pretty good exchange rate. You know? So that's all. So therefore she's working very hard. But now she's working hard for a totally different reason. She doesn't care for this husband, doesn't care for this house, doesn't care for all that. Right? She's seeing happiness is coming elsewhere. But this is done just so that one fits in. Right? One fits in. One doesn't disturb the process. Others must also advance, so they must follow the process. So you have to follow the process so that others will also follow. So that becomes your preaching. You know, at the same time, is you don't think that there's any happiness here. By doing my varnashram duties or doing this and that, that's not my happiness. The happiness is pleasing Krishna. Serving Krishna. That's the happiness. So the whole mentality has changed. Right? So this is where it moves into the top levels of devotional service. Right? That's where it goes. Because there's a taste somewhere else. Right? If we're saying, well, what did I get from this? That means our taste is here, in material things. Right? They may be material things engaged in Krishna's service, but we're looking at the glitter of the material thing. We're not looking at how it's used in Krishna's service. No one's saying, well, where is my house to use in Krishna's service? Where's all the money that I'm going to use in Krishna's service? Where's my position to use in Krishna's service to inspire the other devotees? No, we don't hear like that. It's not said in that tone of voice or that attitude. It's, what am I got? What did I get? I did all that. I collected so much, sold so many books, managed so much, this, that. Sacrificed so much, best years of my life. Best years for what? Right? Best years for what? For sense gratification, right? So that's the alternative, right? I didn't use it for Krishna, then I'd use it for sense gratification. I could have used it for sense gratification, but I gave it to Krishna, and then what did I get for it? But even you give it for sense gratification, what old man or woman is enjoying? Bring them. Find them. Find that old lady, old man who's enjoying life. All their teeth are still there, they still look beautiful, everything's working nicely. Everything, no, it doesn't exist. Right? There's one or two, you hear about them, but it doesn't exist. Right? You hear about them. but it doesn't exist. Plus, just off the record, it gets really tedious to always be smiling, right? You know, after your, you know, third facelift, you can't not smile. So it gets tiring after a while. So it doesn't work. The system doesn't work. So the best years of life means that these are the years that are meant for spiritual life. They're not meant for sense gratification. That you say that they could have been used, that I could have made, if I was a karmi, I could have made this, I could have made that, I could have made so many things. Yes, so where is it? If it was due to you, you'd have it. Step out of Krishna consciousness and then see what happens. You know, are you selling square tomatoes or pumping petrol or what? Right? That's where you belong. Right? Just in Krishna consciousness, one becomes sophisticated and developed. But that's one's spiritual development. When one steps out of that into the material life, one goes back to square one, where one joined this movement. That's where one gets off of the material world. When one leaves Krishna consciousness, that's where one gets back on the material world. Like that. That's the point. If you're supposed to have $1 million, then you go out, you get it. It's due to you anyway. It'd be there. But it's not. Right? So many devotees left. They're real happy, successful, made it in the world. No. One or two. Even they do well, are they happy? No, you see them 10 years later come back and say, they had so many things. They had a company. They had money. They had facility. But it still didn't work. You know. So it didn't work. It won't work. It never worked like that. So we have to be aware that there's another stage in Krishna consciousness, and that's where the consciousness then is focused on Krishna. And one is not interested in the material results. Right? The woman here is not interested in what she's getting out of the house. She just doesn't want the whistle to be blown, that's all. Like that. So that's it's another thing. So the whole idea is that one is doing the activities to please Krishna, and that purifies us, and that can bring us to this platform where then we can be focused on Krishna. If your mind is focused on Maya, it can't be focused on Krishna at the same time. Right? You can't think of Krishna and think of Maya at the same time. You can go back and forth, but you can't be simultaneous. If you think of Krishna, there is no Maya. If you think of Maya, there's no Krishna. Right? Means if you face the sun, there's no shadow. And if you turn your back to the sun, there is no sun, there's only shadow. Like that. And so this idea of best of both worlds, right? The material world doesn't have any best. There is no best. Like that. So it's a fallacious concept. It's the enjoying concept, the desire to enjoy. Therefore, then these ideas are done. So then here, then Krishna is saying, this person who is fixed in me, who with faith, one with great faith, means you started with faith, Krishna consciousness, and each stage means there's more faith. Perfection of faith means prema. Maturity of faith means prema. So if in the process we lose faith, that means we're not actually so well situated. We may be able to do the activities, but it's based on faith. Right? We don't have faith that the process will work, or Krishna's there, or he cares for us, or something. We're putting our faith somewhere else. Like that. So we have to be careful. So with great faith, always abides in me. Thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. So he's thinking of Krishna, he's rendering the transcendental service, he abides in Krishna. Means he's thinking of Krishna, but he's always doing it to please Krishna, according to Krishna's direction. You know, he's always trying to do things how would Krishna would be happy. Right? That's then we see this stage then starts to manifest like that. Any questions on this? Yes. What is spiritual attachment?
Yes,
spiritual attachment is attachment.
I think that Arjuna had that.
Yeah. So spiritual attachment comes after taste. When you have a taste for something, then you get attached for it. You don't have a taste, you don't get attached for it. Like if I bring you something to eat and you taste it, you don't like it, you know, you're not looking for it. You don't care if no one ever brings you that again. But if you taste it, you liked it, then you get attached. So from taste, there's attachment. So the emphasis is on taste. But to get the spiritual taste, you must give up the material taste. Therefore, so much emphasis on sadhana and bhakti and these things. Because those things, and doing your service nicely, giving up ignorance and passion, situating yourself in goodness, so much push on that side. That is so that we give up the material taste. But we have to understand it's a process. And that you stick with it and it works. But then spiritual taste is another cultivation. But the two go together. Because actually the real thing is the cultivating the spiritual taste. But if in the beginning it's emphasized lightly, in a very simple way. You know, Prabhupada always said, chant, dance, and be happy. That is the Krishna consciousness process. But since we can't chant, dance, and always be happy, therefore then we have to do all kinds of other work to keep ourselves busy. Right? We should be chanting, dancing, and being happy, taking prasad. Right? Chant, dance, take prasad. But because of attachments, misgivings, misunderstandings, therefore, we're not satisfied doing that all day. Right? Prabhupada, I remember, was it 74. Prabhupada had a 6-week Gaur Purnima festival. He wouldn't let the devotees go back to the West. They did Mayapur, they came to Vrindavan, then he had Gopal Krishna Maharaj extend everyone's visa, and then everyone went down to Bombay. Devotees were flipping out. They couldn't handle it. Just so much chanting, dancing, and taking prasad. That's all they did. Going on parikrams, going to pandal programs, going out preaching. They couldn't handle it. They had to go do something else. So therefore, then, you know, what I think was, I can't remember, some of the devotees, early days, Prabhupada was on the train. They were writing, you know, either Bombay, Vrindavan, or Vrindavan, Calcutta, or Bombay, and Calcutta, like that. And then Prabhupada, you know, they'd all come to his room and he just started lecturing. He talked for 12 hours straight, all about Krishna. And devotees would come, go, come, go. No one sat there the whole time. So Prabhupada shows, we can talk all day, but who wants to listen? That's the point. We can talk all day. Krishna's so nice, we can talk unlimited. But who wants to listen? So that's because we have attraction for other things. So that's why Vaidhi Sadhana, Sadhana Bhakti means one emphasizes removal of the nonsense in the heart, specifically Vaidhi Sadhana. But as we see here, even advanced stages of Sadhana, the Vaidhi doesn't go away. The household duties are still followed even more perfectly. This is a mistake of the Sahajiyas. Their idea is if we just do something, we just only absorb ourselves in taste of Krishna, then automatically all the material tastes will go away. That's nice if one can do it. But if one could actually do it, it would have already happened in a few moments. Right? The four Kumaras didn't have to taste for very long before they surrendered and became pure devotees. Right? But others we see are distracted. Taste means 24 hours. By that process works as long as you can do it 24 hours. Point is 24 hours you have to be engaged. So if you can do that 24 hours, that's the best. Krishna first recommends that. Just surrender to me. It'll happen in a moment. But if you can't, then follow sadhana bhakti. This is Krishna's recommendation. Right? So Vaidhi needs to be there. That then will remove the things that keeps us from having the taste. The whole point is to get the taste in Krishna. But because there's so much nonsense in the heart, that nonsense has to be taken out. So, therefore, because of the cheating propensity of the conditioned soul, they will forget all that and say, yes, I'm very advanced and I don't have to do all this Vaidhi. I will just do all the things that are taste. But are they doing those things, only taste all day? They sit around and talk Rasa Shastra. Are they doing it 24 hours a day? Like the Goswamis? I doubt it. Like, go after Radha Kund, check. Sit there, watch, see what do they do all day. And you'll find, no. They themselves are absorbed in so many rituals, so many rules. You go bathe in Radha Kund, don't do it this way, don't do it that way. Can't take a Govardhan unless you get the blessings of Brajavasi. You know, try going sitting down. They're all sitting there, Raghunath Das Goswami's place, to take prasad, all the big mahants and all the big babajis are sitting. You yourself, go just sit down right next to one of those big babajis to take prasad, see what happens. Right? See if you are sitting there for another few seconds. Or does somebody come and tell you to move? Why do you have to move? Because you can't sit next to Babaji? Why? Because he's advanced, you're not? But if you're beyond rules, then who cares? You could sit a dog next to them, they wouldn't care. Right? But no, you can't sit there. Because you're new, they're advanced. So they make their own rules, their own Vaidhi. They practice as much or more Vaidhi than we practice. So then we're not talking here advanced. Vaidhi, you know, beyond Vaidhi is a different thing. It's because taste is there, you don't do the other things. Right? You don't have no interest in the material things. But you still follow. That's because it's sadhana. Until you reach the platform of Brahma Bhuta, where you're completely off the bodily platform. It's called sadhana. Some like to make it that there's Vaidhi sadhana, then there's Raganuga. But there is another word after Raganuga. It's called sadhana. So it means a practice. It means you're not Raganuga. Raganuga is called Raganuga. That's called Bhava Bhakti. Raganuga sadhana means you're not Raganuga. But you want to become Raganuga. This is sometimes not explained. Right? You're aspiring for Raganuga. Raganuga happens after Brahmabhuta. Because then you can follow. Before that, how you'll follow? Where's your spiritual form? Where is your absolutely no material attachments in which you can be engaged? It doesn't exist. Desire is there, but that's not quite enough. It's important. That greed is important. But the greed has to fructify. If it doesn't, just because you, today I have some greed for 5 minutes. No, it has to be 24 hours. Then it works. Happens for 5 minutes, great. That's better than it didn't happen at all. It's a sign of some fortune. You know, 5 minutes will become 10 minutes, but 10 minutes still is not 24 hours. You sat for 2 or 3 hours, still 2 or 3 is not 24. Yeah? What do you do the rest of the time? So much nice rasa, shastra, this, that, then after they go back home to their wife. Brahmabhuta means no wife, no business. It's a different thing. It's not so cheap. Cheap means, sahaj means easy. Right? It's a standard word. Sahaj just means what's easy. Like you have difficulty doing something, then there's an easy way to do it. That's called sahaj. So sahajiya means just someone who, they take the easy path. Means they drop all the rules and regulations, and then they make up their own. And it's really easy to make up your own. You know, it's easy to think you're advanced. Like, it's very easy to think you're God, or, you know, think you're Napoleon Bonaparte, or something like that. But for those who are sane, they don't consider you sane, right? A man thinks he's Napoleon Bonaparte, he thinks he belongs on the insane asylum. So the same, the people in the spiritual world, they think the sahajiyas are insane. They don't want to live with them. So the whole thing is the whole process of chanting and doing all the activities, reading, associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, these are to give us taste. Right? These are the main things to give us taste. All the other items are to help purify us so that we can have that taste.
Yes. Stronger, for others less stronger.
Yes.
So, is it that we can follow the stronger things which are naturally attractive our spiritual
Yeah. Means if one of those, one or few of those five are more attractive, yes. We follow those, emphasize those more, but don't overbalance. Right? One has to see that one doesn't overdo it. Because whatever you do, it must be steady. Right? That's the symptom of nishta, steadiness. Okay, you like to do a lot of chanting, then it should be steady. Or you like to do a lot of reading, it should be steady. It's not that you only like to read when it's time to work. And then when it's time for prasad, then you don't want to read. Or when there's nothing to do, then, you know, it's your time. I've seen this, a very common thing. I noticed that with the kids in the school. When you have classes or work on that, then they always want to sleep, or there's not enough time to fix their stuff, or do any of these things that they say so many things they can't do because they're always busy working and no free time to do these things. So then you say, okay, we'll give an hour a day for free time to do these things. They'll never, never, never do those things in that hour. That's their hour. They're going to use it to the best of their ability to get the most out of it. Why would you sleep during their free time? Or why would you fix your locker during your free time? No, that's the time to enjoy. Play, run around, do something else, talk to friends, eat something. You know, something valuable. You wouldn't use it on these lower things, you know, like that. So we have to make sure that what is the motive behind it? You know? It's like, you know, during the day, yes, we have to read, but then as soon as the sun goes down, then we're sitting out under the tree or on the steps talking for the next 3 hours, just anything. Then we can understand taste is there, it's good, but we have to check the motive behind it. and maybe we should read for those 3 hours at night and do some service during the day. You know? So one has to balance, one has to see what is one's motive. Because it's not us, it's the mind, right? Of course, we've allowed the mind to do this because we want to enjoy the specific enjoyment that the mind is arranged. And we've thought, okay, good, right? It's driving the chariot and we just let it do what it likes. You know, we could easily just, you know, tell the mind to take a hike and pull the reins in. But we don't. We let the mind run the whole thing. So we have to, it's not us. That's why the humility, everything can be there. There's no problem with the ego or anything, because it's not us anyway. So therefore we can control it, check it, see it, look at it, you know, discuss it with others like that, because it's not us. It's the monster we have created by just allowing the material energy to go on controlled by the modes of nature. So the emphasis is on developing the taste. Prema means full taste, the complete taste. But you have to get to that taste, and you can't be at that taste if you don't get rid of what keeps the taste from being there. Therefore the two have to go on together. That's what Krishna says. Do your service. Regulate it. He's always talking. Krishna doesn't say you just sit down and go to the forest. That wasn't Krishna's. That was Arjuna's idea. Krishna's idea is you do your service, do your duties, and think of Him. If you can do that, then at the time of death, you can think of Him, right? My idea is, well, I can't do all this and think of Krishna. I must give up all these things and then think of Krishna. So I can only do one thing, think of Krishna. But the time of death means two things are going on. You're dying, which is an activity, and you have to think of Krishna. So if you can't do some service and think of Krishna, how are you going to die and think of Krishna? Right? That's the topic. How to die and think of Krishna. So you practice that by doing activity. Death is just another, you know, birth, growth, maintenance, then what it is. Yeah, reproduction. There was another word also. Dwindling. And then, yeah, and then, you know, you stay some time and then it goes, they're all activities, something's happening. So death's an activity. So if you're going to be able to die and think of Krishna, then you can also, you know, sweep the floor and think of Krishna, or cook and think of Krishna, or sweep and think of Krishna, or worship the deity and think of Krishna, or chant your japa and think of Krishna. So that's the whole point. And then when you get to the spiritual world, they're not all just sitting around under trees in lotus position thinking of Krishna, or just sitting there and reading Rasa Shastra while Radha and Krishna walk by with nobody with them because they're so busy absorbed in the Shastra. No, everybody's working, everyone's serving. So we serve here, we serve there. Yeah? So what is your service? Then that's the question. Right? The more we're contaminated, that's the next point. But the more we're contaminated, the more the body has to be. The more ignorance, the more you have to engage the body. Then, when there's less than the mind, then next, like this, it just keeps going on. Okay? Yeah. I think we should end.
You were talking about Dharma Buddha. No, they can also come to the Brahma Buddha platform.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, they can. No, everybody can come to Brahma Buddha. Prabhupada in that story of Paranjana. So Queen Vidarbhi, after Maharaj Malayadvaj leaves, then Prabhupada in the purport is talking about husband and wife as Paramahamsas. But that means they're doing their duties simply to please Krishna. Then it doesn't matter. There's no difference in the benefits of any of the varnas or any of the ashrams. But that detachment has to be there. The duty is done completely, but it's done only to please Krishna. There's no other purpose. Then it'll bring. Because the point is any activity done without attachment, right, that's done, that's according to Krishna's direction, The effect is it will bring you to Brahma-bhuta. That's just the effect of it. That's just the Varnashram system followed without attachment and with knowledge will bring one to Brahma-bhuta. That's why Krishna doesn't say, do your duty without attachment and stop there. He says, no, thinking of me in devotion, without thinking you're the doer, right? Otherwise the impersonalist thinks they're the doer and they get to the Brahma-bhuta platform. Right? Doing it to please Krishna. The impersonalist is doing it, but not to please Krishna. So we don't want to stop at Brahma-bhuta. So therefore, if all Brahma-bhuta or liberation was the only goal, then Krishna would say, follow your duty without attachment. And that's it. That's the only instruction. Very easy. Then you will get the liberation. Okay? So that's why we have duties in that. We always preach surrender and no attachment, because that's what gets you to there. But we have to understand why it's there. It's not that surrender and do it that, therefore, you know, you go out and get more money. No, it's a matter of if you do this, you will benefit. Since you have a conditioned nature, we have to engage it. You have a nature to collect money. So therefore, we'll engage you in collecting money. But it's to purify you so you go back to Godhead, not because we're interested in money. Right? Money we take. If it's there, we use it for Krishna. We can use unlimited. No money is there, it doesn't matter. We can sit under a tree and chant. But since there's so many people there that are good at the mode of passion, we have to purify them. Therefore, we're going to do passionate activities for them. Like that. So any platform will take. But you have to understand how it works. Then you get the result. Otherwise, just saying, you know, everyone, well, why are you criticizing Graha? No, we're criticizing anybody if they're not doing it for Krishna. If they do it to Krishna, it'll bring them there. Yeah, Brahma-bhuta means just liberation. We have to go, liberation just means Brahman. We have to go into the spiritual planets. That takes love. So you can get to the Brahman by unattached work, naishkarmya. But you can't get into the spiritual realm without love for God. That's why the two are done at one time. We perform naishkarmya to please Krishna. Then we get both. But if we just say, we'll only do things to please Krishna, no naishkarmya, no vaidhi, no... Then we're not going to get there. How are we going to get there? Krishna's here, whole Gita is to tell us to perform naishkarmya. Right? That's the conclusion. What's the conclusion? Now, yes, Krishna, I understand what you're saying. I will fight. He didn't say, yes, Krishna, I will sit down under a tree. So the whole purpose is just... do your duties, engage your body, mind, and words in Krishna's service according to His direction. According to your platform. You're attached? Engage that. You're detached? Engage that. Whatever it is, engage it. That's what you're supposed to do. Then you'll become perfect. Doesn't matter. Whatever varna, ashram, anything. Doesn't matter. Because those, they are not actually grihasthas. Right? Because they're only doing it to please Krishna. Like in Vaikuntha, you also have grihasthas. Husband and wives are there. Vrindavan husband and wives are there. Everywhere there's husband and wives. But their only duty is to please Krishna, not themselves. Right? If there's some desire to please oneself, that means then the need for following the Varnashram is important to purify it. And if you're already purified, then you set a good example for others. So any position is okay. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, samavitā bhaktivṛnda ki, janitā gopakāna.